This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Stagman, and this is The Rundown. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is asking the federal government to help get U.S. citizens stranded in the Middle East back home. This comes as Iran launches retaliatory strikes against U.S. military bases in countries across the region, like in Jordan and Saudi Arabia. Pritzker's calling on the State Department to roll out a plan to use charter flights and military planes to help Americans leave the region. In a letter to Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Pritzker said it's the country's, quote, urgent obligation to repatriate citizens, as their safety continues to be at risk. Pritzker's staff met with the State Department on a briefing call recently. Sources familiar with that call say the department did not, quote, instill confidence that there is a transportation plan. The State Department hasn't returned WBEZ's requests for comments. Chicago resident Marimar Martinez was shot 5 times last October in an encounter with Border Patrol, and she appeared just rows behind Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday, as Noem testified before Congress. But during the hearing, Noem claimed not to know about the case. Martinez's attorney, Chris Parente, was on WBEZ's Say More this morning. He says Noem's declaration is not a good look for the Department of Homeland Security.
Either she's completely lying, which I think she is, about not knowing about this case, or she truly doesn't know, which is even actually more scary, right? I mean, how could the head of DHS not be briefed on the shooting of a U.S. citizen on the streets of Chicago that's been national news since October?
Parente says text messages released in Martinez's case show the agent who shot her talking about the support he received from higher-ups at the time, including Noem. Chicago turns 189 years old today. My WBEZ colleague Brandon Kondritz takes us to the city's birthday party downtown.
What started as a trading post at the mouth of the Chicago River is now the country's third biggest city. One of the world's first skyscrapers was built downtown. The Ferris wheel debuted at the 1893 World's Fair, and many consider Chicago the home of house music. Mayor Brandon Johnson was the guest of honor at Wednesday's celebration. He says the best is yet to come.
Let's recommit ourselves to the love story that established us. Let us honor its foundation and history by doing the work to make Chicago a more equitable, a more just, and a more prosperous city over the next 189 years.
The party was complete with Eli's Cheesecake and other treats from local businesses.
Happy birthday to
Brandon Kondritz, WBEZ News.
The Chicago school board member representing the Southeast Side is stepping down to take a fellowship. Olga Bautista is a longtime environmental activist. At her final school board meeting today, she told her colleagues that it was difficult to leave a position that means so much. Bautista was appointed by Mayor Brandon Johnson after the entire board resigned in October 2024. Johnson will now have the opportunity to appoint another board member before the entire board is elected in November. This is The Rundown.
A new report by a court-appointed monitor found the more than 30,000 people locked up in Illinois prisons are still receiving substandard medical care. The Illinois Department of Corrections has been under a consent decree to improve health care since 2019. But in the years since, report after report has documented delays in care, severe staffing shortages, and preventable disease and death. Chicago Sun-Times reporter Caitlin Washburn has been digging into the state prison system's healthcare failures, and she's here now with us. Hi, Caitlin.
Hello, Melba.
So, Caitlin, you've been reporting on how poor medical care in Illinois prisons can cause treatable problems to escalate and become dangerous. And last fall, you traveled to Southern Illinois to meet someone incarcerated there. Tell us about his case.
That's right, Melba. I visited a 74-year-old man who's been incarcerated in Illinois since the early 1990s. He's currently housed in Pinckneyville Correctional Center, which is about 300 miles south of the Loop.
My name is Johnny Flournoy, and I've experienced the worst medical deliberate indifference I think that anybody could ever experience.
Johnny has glaucoma, which is an incurable eye condition, but it's treatable. Daily eye drops will manage the eye pressure, but without them, that pressure builds up and destroys the optic nerve. As one of Johnny's doctors told IDOC rather succinctly in 2015, patient needs all glaucoma medicine for life to prevent blindness. Johnny's moved around from different prisons over the years, and it's the same story every time. He struggles to get consistent access to his drops. Sometimes he's gone months without getting his drops. And here's how he summed it up.
My situation is bad because they let me go blind.
Johnny's now blind in one eye, and he's nearly blind in the other. He's underwent 5 surgeries. When I visited him, he was wearing a homemade eye patch tied to his face with a shoelace.
It looks like your eye patch is made out of a shoestring.
Right. They told me they didn't have no more patches, so I had to have somebody fix it up because it busted.
I gotta say, Johnny is a fighter, and he's a relentless advocate for himself. He's filed countless grievances over the years over this issue. He's written letters to Governor J.B. Pritzker and his 3 predecessors. He's even won 2 financial settlements in court, but none of that has improved his health care, Melba.
That's such a harrowing example, and Johnny's just one person in one state prison. So let's zoom out just a little bit, Caitlin. This new report from a court-appointed monitor looks at healthcare across the system. What problems did they find?
One thing they found are preventable deaths that have happened in custody. The monitor reviewed recent deaths in custody over the last few years, and they identified 3 deaths from asthma, which is a completely preventable death, the monitor says. They also have issues with their staffing levels. The monitor describes those as dangerously low. I talked to Alyssa Moyer, who's a lawyer with the Uptown People's Law Center and a member of the legal team for the class action suit that triggered the consent decree. And I was frankly shocked when she told me how many doctors are serving the state's prisons.
There are 16 doctors for over 29,000 people in 29 facilities.
Can you repeat that? That's 16 doctors for the entire correctional system?
Yes. And I should say the equivalent hours of 16 doctors. So they calculate it based on the number of hours worked. And so that could be more or less than 16 human beings.
And Melba, that's despite having a budget for 33 full-time physicians. The consent decree also requires the corrections department to digitize all patient records. But that hasn't happened. The vast majority of people's medical records are still on paper. Melba, that means that it's really hard to track what treatment someone needs, and they might not be getting their medication if, say, they get transferred to a different prison.
And, you know, we've been hearing reporting about these problems for years, but are there any areas where the Illinois Department of Corrections has been improving since the start of the consent decree?
Yes, the agency has said that they've overhauled its policies to create more oversight for its healthcare system, which the monitor also acknowledges in their report. In a statement from the department spokesperson, they told me that they now have committees and staff to implement these improvements. But they did not answer any of the specific questions I asked for this story, so it's unclear whether those policies are working and improving healthcare in the state prisons. And if I can just pull out real quick, it's the state's constitutional duty to provide adequate health care to people in their custody. And people incarcerated in America, whether they're in a jail or they're in prison, are guaranteed medical care. And not doing that is considered cruel and unusual punishment under the 8th Amendment.
And like I mentioned earlier, there's more than 30,000 people currently locked up in state prisons in Illinois. And it's estimated that half of all Americans have an immediate family member who is or has been incarcerated. So if there's someone listening whose parent or son or daughter is inside prison and not getting the treatment they need, do the experts you talk to have any advice?
They do. They have some pretty specific bullet points. One is to keep track of your symptoms and write them down. Another is to file grievances, which creates a paper trail and a record of what you're going through and what's being ignored. They also say to request your medical records, which is something you have a right to do.
It's also going to be helpful to have an advocate outside of prison. I'm thinking of Johnny Flournoy, the man you told us about earlier who's going blind. You met his family, right, Caitlin?
That's right. I had the chance to visit Johnny's family a few weeks ago in the Morgan Park neighborhood on Chicago's South Side.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Caitlin with the Sun-Times. We're here to see Patricia.
Johnny's nephew, Jimmy Brown, pulled out this duffel bag while we were there that was filled with the documents that Johnny has sent home over the years. That's copies of those grievances that he's filed, medical records, doctor's notes.
All of this is all his paperwork, and he sends this home constantly to let us know everything that they will or will not do.
Melba Johnny's serving a life sentence, but he maintains his innocence. He also is dealing with other medical issues as he's getting older that aren't getting properly treated. That includes a hernia, polyps on his colon, and a heart arrhythmia.
Caitlin, thanks for keeping us updated on what's going on with the medical care in Illinois prisons.
Thank you.
Chance of showers are forecast tonight. Some fog developing overnight with a low around 40. Showers and areas of fog on Thursday, highs in the mid-40s, cooler and foggier by the lake. Then Friday, we'll see rain and patchy fog with a high around 70. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Stegman. Thanks for listening.